I'm Marco Werman with The World. As part of our Across Women's Lives project, we've been highlighting the economic power of women in different places around the globe. You may remember our stories from Kenya last month. Today, we head to Ghana in West Africa. Ghana has a high rate of small business ownership for women, which is pretty amazing considering a dark chapter in the country's not-so-distant past. Reporter Yipoka Yibo has our story.
When I get back to Ghana, the first thing I do is go to the market district. It's always overwhelming. The crowds, the pungent smells, the cacophony. It feels like home to me. There are glossy supermarkets popping up all over Accra, but more than 90% of people still do their shopping in markets like this. And that means buying from women. Matilda Moses sells what many consider the finest tomatoes in the market district. Her stall is tiny, a plywood tabletop balanced on an old crate. But she can make the equivalent of $300 a week in sales. Moses is part of a tradition of entrepreneurial women in Ghana that goes back decades. It's made the country one of a handful of places where women are more likely to start businesses than men. But behind this bright statistic is a dark history. The military coups of the 1970s and 80s, which sprang out of an economic crisis.
In 1979 particularly, we had three governments within 24 months.
That's economist George Owusu speaking. His own mother was a market woman.
She will go to Accra, buy clothes and other things, and come back and sell on high pitches.
Owusu was about six when a Ghanaian Air Force lieutenant, Jerry Rawlings, staged two successive coups d'etat. Owusu remembers the military curfew at 6 p.m. and soldiers rolling through town targeting everyone they considered a threat. Market women were accused of driving up the price of food. The army stormed the markets, searched the homes of traders, and seized everything in sight. There were arrests and public floggings.
If you're a trader, it wasn't safe for you to engage in any meaningful trading, because if you are caught, then you have a problem. And if you refuse also to sell your goods and keep them in your house, they will accuse you of hoarding commodities. So to avoid all this, my mother stopped trading.
Owusu's mother had 10 children in school, and her husband had just retired. She was now the breadwinner. To survive, she sold her great-grandmother's jewelry. The family struggled to make ends meet for years.
We learned how to get by with little.
Stories like this are distressingly common. Rawlings, the military leader, would later say that he did all this because the market women had caused Ghana's economic crisis. A decade after that, he said that the real reason for the floggings was that some of the market women had been rude to his soldiers. Whatever the case, in 1979, soldiers went to the country's biggest market complex in the heart of Accra and planted explosives. They destroyed every last business. Ghana is no longer a military dictatorship. And today, 36 years on, the markets of Accra are thriving. Nobody really talks about the bad old days now. Most of the women affected, like Owusu's mother, have retired or passed on. But market women are well aware of the economic power they have and of the risks they're taking by running these businesses. Produce vendor Matilda Moses keeps an eye on all sorts of factors that could affect her prices. A good harvest, bad weather, or wedding season. This is all crucial because she's taking on a lot of risk. She buys three huge crates of tomatoes every week. If she miscalculates, she could end up with a bunch of rotting produce and no money. Always give the customer a little something extra, Moses says. Be good to them. That way they're happy and they keep coming back. For The World, Yipoka Yibo, Accra.